This is a new book published by the Islamic Dawa Academy. Inshallah, it will come out in various volumes. This is the first volume. And it consists of 55 articles written by myself. It's in the English language. And inshallah, if all the copies arrive before Eid, then I will present a copy to every muwattakif before they leave as a gift from me, inshallah. So make dua that it arrives on time. And the name was inspired to me in Haramain Sharifain. And the name is Inspirations. Before going to Haramain Sharifain, lot of discussion was taking place, because it's not on one topic. Various articles written on during the last many years, and we are putting them together without any specific order. So I said to them, I said, let me go to Haramain Sharifain and inshallah I will decide from there. So one day I was sleeping, between sleep and awake, and the thought came that it should be Inspirations. Because I was inspired to write this, and inshallah I take good omen with this name, that whoever will read it will also be inspired to follow what I am
advising.
So when you get a copy, try to read it regularly at home, and make it a mamul to read it with the family at least once a week. So those of you who know Urdu, make talim with the family of Mawaiz-e Hasana, which is in Urdu. And make dua for its acceptance.
Inshallah.
The main thing is acceptance. Main thing is acceptance, not in the hearts of the public. Acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is acceptance in the hearts of the public. That has no value. But it is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result it is accepted in the hearts of the public. Then that has value. Sometimes a good speaker, or somebody who writes something good, he will attract us. But because of his misdeeds or because of his wrong intentions, his work is not accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So acceptance is of three types. Acceptance amongst the masses. Acceptance amongst the creation, but not the creator. The second type of acceptance is acceptance in the court of Allah, in the court of the creator, but not amongst the creation. There are so many people who learn, who try to learn, laymen, not scholars, not ulama, not well known, but they strive, they learn, they sit in the company of the ulama, they try to make their deen better, they take out time for deen, and they try to become better, good. They exert every ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them to become good Muslims, to become beloved in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and eventually they are accepted by Allah. They are accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after being granted acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people are divided into two categories. One category, as a result of this acceptance, they are given acceptance amongst the people also. And there is another category that they are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they are not given acceptance amongst the people. They don't become famous, not well known, that oh, he is very pious. So there are those who are maqbool and who become accepted amongst the creation but not the creator. They become very famous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save all of us from being in this category. And because people revere this person very much, they also begin to think that I am very pious because of reverence of people. Because of certain shortcomings in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not accepted. Salat is there, zakat is there, soom is there, hajj is there, deeni effort is there, teaching is there, learning is there, so many things. But the inner self is no good. Inner self. Riya. Riya is there. He is doing everything for show or for fame. There are two things. One is Riya and the other is Sum'ah. Riya, the illness of Riya is of a lower category and the illness of Sum'ah is of a higher category. But both from major sins. Riya is also Kabira and Sum'ah is also Kabira. I urge all of you, each and every person who is sitting here, I urge all of you, please learn Deen. If we don't learn Deen, we will not know where we are going wrong. And we will continue to assume that I am very religious. But there are so many people sitting here, majority who are deenis, who are religious people, but probably 90% of them have heard this first time that there are two illnesses, Riya and Suma. Riya is of a lower category, Suma is of a higher category. And everybody is probably thinking, what is Suma? And what is the difference between Riya and Suma? And these are very, very dangerous illnesses. Very dangerous. Riya is of a lower category, Suma of a higher category. Just like Ujb and Kibr. Ujb is of a lower category, Kibr is of a higher category. Both major sins. Riya is major sin, Sum'a is major sin, Ujb is major sin, and Kibra is major sin. And these are illnesses of the heart. There are do's and don'ts related to our outer body. And there are do's and don'ts related to our inner self. So there are four types of commands from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do's of the body, do's of the heart. Don'ts of the body, don'ts of the heart. The do's of the body are known as awamir. Awamir, orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the don'ts of the body is known as nawahi, the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salat is from the awamir, it is do of the body. The body will perform wudu, The body will clean the body. The body will come into the masjid. The body will face the Qibla. The body will make the Qiyam. The body will make the Ruku. The body will make the prostration. Zakah is do of the body. Because the body, the hands will give out the money. Soul is the do of the body. It is the body that will abstain from food and drink and cohabitation from dawn till sunset. And don'ts of the body, consuming alcohol. A person consumes alcohol with his body. Adultery, fornication. Don't of the body. Then you have the do's of the heart and the don'ts of the heart. And when we associate ourselves with the mashayikh, we learn the do's of the heart and the don'ts of the heart, and we also learn how to practice the do's of the heart and the don'ts of the heart. Do's of the heart. Do's of the heart. Be generous. Generosity is the do of the heart. So being generous is the quality of the heart, not the quality of the body. You may be poor. You may not have a single penny. But you still can be generous. Because generosity is the quality of the heart. It's got nothing to do with your hands and money. You are generous, but you can't spend because you haven't got anything. So it's possible that a poor person is spending £5 only because he can only afford £5. And you have a rich person who is spending £1,000,000 at the same time because he is a billionaire. So he is spending £1,000,000, the poor person is spending £5. But it's possible that the generosity is in his heart is more than the generosity that this person has who is spending £1,000,000. This is the field of the mashayikh, the heart. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajwadan nas. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous of the people. So some people object. Some people object that this particular rich sheikh, throughout his life he has spent millions. And we don't find in a hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent millions. So how can we say that he was more generous than this person? This question arises in the minds of the people. That this person has spent millions, this person has spent billions, this person is very generous, this person... And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent, but not in millions and not in billions. So the answer that the muhaddithin give is that he spent practically, he spent according to his ability, but the generosity that was in his heart was so much that if he possessed the whole world, he would have spent the whole world. So you cannot judge a person's generosity by how much he spends. Only Allah knows how generous each person is. These are the qualities of the heart. Generosity is due of the heart. Generosity. Adorn your heart with generosity. This is the do of the heart. And safeguard your heart. That means don't let pride enter your heart. This is the don't of the heart. Don't let pride come in your heart. Don't let ujub, self-conceit, come in your heart. Don't let riya come in your heart. Don't let sum'a come in your heart. Just as salat is fard, salat, the due of the body. Similarly, generosity is also fard. Generosity is also fard. And just as adultery, fornication, consumption of drugs and alcohol is haram, similarly ujb and riya and kibr and suma is also haram. But we abhor adultery, we abhor fornication, we abhor and dislike alcohol, drugs. And we carry riya in our hearts, we carry suma in our hearts, we carry ujb in our hearts, we carry kibra in our hearts, we carry hasad in our hearts, even when we are performing tawaf, and even when we are doing sa'i, and even when we are in arafat, and even when we are performing salat, even when we are leading salat, even when we are in itikaf, no attention. Even the religious people don't pay attention. And the feet of Ibn Adam will not be able to move from its place until he is not questioned for five things. Where did you, in what amal did you spend your life? And this is also included. So we will not be questioned only for the outer do's and don'ts. We will not be questioned only for the do's and the don'ts of the body. We will be questioned for the do's and don'ts of the heart also. So the first resolution I would urge everybody to make here today is that inshallah from today we will acquire ilm through authentic sources.
Inshallah.
Please.
Inshallah.
Raise your hands and make this resolution today.
Inshallah.
Jazakum Allah.
Inshallah.
The more you learn about deen, the more you will understand deen, and the more you understand deen, the more you will be able to follow deen clearly, without any doubt. This I have to do, this I can't do. But acquire ilm through authentic sources. Authentic, reliable ulama, who have a chain that leads them to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Reliable, authentic, God-fearing ulama. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each and every person the ability to differentiate between good ulama and bad ulama. First, Allah has given the ability to differentiate between someone who is actually an alim and who is not an alim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam spoke the Arabic language. So the person with ilm in the Arabic language is known as alim. And the plural of alim is ulama. And this has become a technical term for the leaders of deen. They are called ulama. Those who go through a rigorous syllabus and learn the principles of deen, the ahadith, the tafsir, they are known as ulama, they are known as alim ulama, alim ulama. Everywhere, alim ulama, alim ulama, alim ulama. And those people who acquire ilm themselves without an authentic chain, they themselves prefer not to call themselves alim or ulama. They prefer the title scholar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that al-ulama'u warasatu al-anbiya. My inheritors are those people whose title is ulama, not scholars. But those people who have not acquired ilm through authentic source, they prefer themselves to be called scholars, not ulama. This is how Allah is safeguarding the deen. If you call them alim, they don't like the name alim. They don't like the name ulama. They feel proud of being called scholars. I am a scholar. I am a scholar of deen. I am a scholar of hadith. I am a scholar of tafsir. Not alim. Allah has given each and every person the ability to differentiate between an alim and a non-alim. And thereafter, from amongst the ulama, Allah has given each and every person the ability to differentiate between an alim who is God-fearing and an alim who is not God-fearing. If we sit in someone's company for a month, for 2 months, for 3 months, we go in his lectures, we begin to associate with him, see him in informal majalis, in his life, the way he behaves, the way he eats, the way he drinks, the way he clothes himself, the way he behaves with people. When you see him before namaz, after namaz, coming to the masjid, going out from the masjid, it won't take you long to recognize a genuine alim, a gem from the ulama. And the three signs of a pious person that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi mujmain asked, Man nujalis ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. With whom shall we sit, O Messenger of Allah? In whose company shall we sit? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Number one, whose company reminds you of Allah? When you meet him, when you sit in his gathering reminds you of Allah. His gathering creates a zeal in your heart to come closer to Allah, to please Allah, do something for Allah. Zeal is clear. I want to do something for Allah. I want to make him happy. Number two, whose company reminds you of akhirat. The zeal is created there. I want to do something for my akhirah. Whether he is able to follow it up later on, that's a different matter. But whilst he is in his company, and if the company is very powerful, then even if he does not speak, just sitting in his company will remind you of Allah. Sitting in his company will remind you of akhirah. That I want to become a person of the akhirat, not dunya. A person who is engrossed in dunya will, in the company of such a person, will feel inside, dunya, 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 dunya. I've always been doing dunya, dunya. When will I come out of this dunya? And number three, whenever you go in his gathering, you always leave with something new, some new knowledge. Something new. So the first resolution that we have made today is that inshallah we will acquire ilm. Acquire ilm through authentic sources. And in order to do that, we have to associate ourselves with the ulama. So make a resolution that inshallah we will allocate at least half an hour per week to sit in the company of an alim. A good alim in our locality. A good alim in our locality. And if we cannot find anyone in our locality, and we are not able to travel to another locality where there is a good alim every week, then we will go at least once a month. We will go. We will acquire ilm. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, a great alim. Great alim, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, faqih and muhaddith. And such a pious personality that he himself said that in my dream I saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times. He said 99 times I saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my dream. When I saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 99 times in my dream, I said to myself that if I see Allah again 100th time, then I will ask him a question. He had a question in his mind. I will ask him a question. When he saw Allah 100 times, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Daru Allah, which deed pleases you the most? Which deed makes you happy the most? So Imam Muhammad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, recitation of the Quran. Recitation of the Quran. In this day and age, there is a group of people who say reciting the Quran does not benefit because we don't understand what Allah is saying. So it's pointless reciting the Quran. If you want to read the Quran, read translation of the Quran, not Quran in Arabic. So non-Arab should not recite the Quran in Arabic. It's pointless, it's useless. There is a group, there is this view in the market. What do the muhakkik ulama say? The muhakkikin, the powerful ulama, the strong ulama, the authentic, reliable ulama, right from the time of the tabi'in, right from the time of the sahaba, because sahaba also went into those places where Arabic was not spoken. So the sahaba, did they say to the people there that it's pointless reading Quran? But the sahaba taught them Quran and they encourage them to read the Quran. There are three different ibadat. One is reciting the Quran. It is ibadah in its own right, just reciting the Quran. Number two, understanding the message of the Quran. That is another ibadah. And thereafter to practice what you have understood, that is a different ibadah. And thereafter the fourth ibadah is to propagate what you have understood and what you are practicing. Four separate ibadah. If you are able to do all four, you are 100% complete. If you do the first three, you are 75%. If you do the first two, you are 50%. And if you recite only, at least 25% is there. Inshallah, this 25% will bring you to 50% and 50 to 75 and 75 to 100. But Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, may Allah elevate his status in his grave. He solved this problem for us in his dream. So when he said, which deed pleases you the most? He was going to ask only one question. Which deed pleases you the most? Because he didn't know Allah was going to say Quran. So Allah says recitation of the Quran. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi asked another question. Recitation of the Quran pleases you the most? With understanding or without understanding? Imam Ahmad asked, with understanding or without understanding? Allah said, with understanding and without understanding. Recitation of the Quran pleases me the most. With understanding and without understanding, both. This great Imam, very, very pious. Very pious. I urge all the students of Deen and my colleagues, ulama, to hold fast to Amal as much as possible. Because on one side we have the Nabuwi era, and on the other side we have the Dajjali era. Two extremes, Nabuwi and Dajjali era. During the time of the Nabuwi era, every alim was amil. So every alim practiced. Slowly, from the era of Nubuwwah to the era of the Sahaba, and then from there to the era of Tabi'in, one out of thousands was bad apple. and bad apples continue to increase. And when you go towards the Dajjali era, the bad apples will be more than the good apples. And a time will come when from among the ulama, it will be an effort to find a God-fearing alim. A time will come. That time has not come yet. A time will come. Because slowly, ilm will be raised. And ulama will be in inverted commas. Ignorant people will become leaders of the community. People will assume them to be ulama. So we, the students of deen, we are going towards that era. So we have to make sure that we follow the path of the Salafi Salihin, our Akabir, our elders, our forefathers. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is our forefather. Imam Abu Hanifa is our forefather for the people of ilm. Imam Shafi is our forefather. Imam Malik is our forefather, rahimahumullah ta'ala. We need to become like them. They were all ulama and all pious. There was no category that, mashallah, he is a very good alim. As far as academics is concerned, he is very high. But amal, average. And this alim is very high in amal, but ilm, they were excel in both ilm and amal. Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala was the chief justice of his time. Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala, the student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, the chief justice of his time. So chief justice has to take care of, supervise many courts, many other qazis, many other judges were working under him. So chief justice. And whilst being chief justice during the era of Harun Rashid, he was also a great faqih, a great jurist. Faqih is he who is able to deduce masail from Quran and Ahadith. Very great expertise. Every person cannot do that. Every mufti cannot do that. Mujtahid. So students would come, great ulama would come and learn from him. So imagine his daily activities. Despite the recitation of the Quran, mashallah, zikr, azkar, everything was intact. His mamulat, daily practices that keeps the soul nourished. Very important for our tablighi brothers also. Mamulat, very, very important for our tablighi brothers. Mamulat, very important for our ulama and talaba. And as far as khanqah is concerned, that is where we come for mamulat. And those who are neither associated to tabligh jamaat or neither associated to ulama, talaba, madaris, neither associated to khanqah, mamulat is necessary for you also. Mamulat. We allocate certain azkar for ourselves. Inshallah, I will recite one juz from the Quran daily, or half juz from the Quran daily, or quarter juz daily. Inshallah, daily I will recite 100 times Kalima-i-Tayyiba. Inshallah, daily I will recite 100 times third Kalima. According to your ability, it is better if you associate yourself to a sheikh and thereafter in his guidance. But if you don't have a sheikh, you have yet to choose a sheikh, find a sheikh, then allocate something for it. 100 times Kalima-i-Tayyiba, 100 times third Kalima, 100 times Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, 100 times Salat ala Nabi. The shortest formula is Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Imam Abu Yusuf Rahmatullah was a chief justice, number one. Number two, he was a faqih. Despite that, he would carry out all his mamulat. And what were his mamulat? 100 times Kalima-i-Tayyiba like you and me. Leave everything aside. Only the nafal salat he used to perform. How many rakats in 24 hours? He would perform 200 rakats every day. 200 rakat nafal. 200 rakat nafal daily. That was part of his mamul. It was his prescribed practice that he had prescribed for himself. And not like us, for these elders, 7 days were same. Not like us that this is weekend and this is working days. 7 days same. These are the people of hereafter. So, I was saying that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, very, very pious personality. Great alim and a great saint. Great alim and great saint. People used to flock to him from all four corners of the world. People used to flock to him from all four corners of the world to learn hadith from him, to learn fiqh from him. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. Allahu Akbar. Despite that, one day somebody saw Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi with pen and ink pot. In those days, they would make pens out of twigs of trees. They would use ink pot and write. So somebody saw him with pen, ink pot and a few papers. So this person said that, for how long will you continue to acquire ilm? He was going somewhere in quest for ilm. Whenever the news used to reach them that a great alim has come in our town or in the town nearby, they would go. Maybe I might find something new from him. So somebody said, until when, O Ahmad ibn Hanbal? For how long will you continue searching for ilm? So he said, Ma'al mihbarati ilal maqbarati. I will continue moving around with this ink pot until I go to the grave. And what is our behavior? Maktab finish, ilm finish. We know everything. Maktab is finished, we know everything. After maktab, no. And the more religious we become, the less we feel the need to sit in the company of the ulama. The more religious we become. I am dindar, I am religious, I don't need to sit in the company of the ulama. Even the ulama sit in the company of the ulama. Even the ulama, they sit in the company of the ulama. They try to find opportunities where they are able to go into the company of the ulama and learn from them. So this is one resolution we need to make, that inshallah we will acquire ilm. We will acquire. And the second resolution we need to make is that inshallah on a daily basis we will recite the Quran.
Inshallah.
Daily. Daily. Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi used to say regarding tea. Regarding tea. Tea. Which tea is very tasty? So he would say, Labrez, Labsoz, Labdoz. He said, that tea is the best which has three qualities. Labrez, a full mug. Labrez, full mug. Which is overspilling. That means it should be more in quantity. Labrez. Number two, Labsoz. Very hot. Hot tea. The culture here is different. The culture here is different, especially those people who work in surgeries, offices. They let the tea cool down until it becomes milkshake. Sharbat. Cold tea. that the older generation from the subcontinent, they always like hot tea. And very sweet as well. Very sweet. They use a lot of sugar as well. So, Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, used to say, that which is a very tasty tea, labrez, large in quantity, large quantity. Labsoz, very hot. Hot that burns the lips. Hot. And labdoz, very sweet. There was another pious personality who was the student of Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Mawlana Abrar Ahmad Sahib Dulyavi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. So he used to say that I would like to add a fourth point. He said that tea should be labrez, labsoz, labdoz and harroz. Harroz means every day. So it should be large quantity, hot, very sweet, but every day. So let us also make this resolution that the recitation of the Quran will be her rose. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Inshallah, her rose. And those means sweet, soz means hot. Inshallah, if we recite the Quran daily, the sweetness of the Quran. And hot means the heat of the Quran. The effect of the Quran will touch our hearts. If we recite the Quran daily, if it is har roz, then inshallah those and souls will come in our hearts. If we have met for the very first time, we have met for the first time. Assalamu alaikum. Maulana invited you and I, both of us. We went to Maulana's house. First time we meet. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum. We are no acquaintanceship. So, I will not be inclined towards the brother will not be inclined towards me. We are both sitting there. Maybe casual remark here and there, but no. But if we meet again and again, again and again, again and again, then we will have so many topics to discuss. That time will be short every time we meet. We will not want to part from each other. Because now, our hearts are connected to each other. We know each other well. Similarly, those of us who have disassociated themselves from the Quran is stranger for us. So when we sit with the Quran, we read one ruku, two ruku, and we want to part from the Quran. So how should we bring that interest back again that was there long time ago, or maybe that interest has never come in our lives? By meeting the Quran again and again and for longer periods. Again and again and longer periods. So if you get tired, two rukus, three rukus, put the Quran away, and after Zohar Salat, sit again with the Quran, read one ruku, two ruku, put it away, after Asr, sit with the Quran again, put it away, after Maghrib, sit with the Quran again and again. And if you are able to prolong the first sitting, alhamdulillah, one sipara, one juz, half a juz. Once you will acquaint yourself with the Quran will be acquainted with you, and you will not want to part from the Quran. So today we are making two resolutions. One is inshallah on a weekly basis. If there is a good alim in our locality, or not in our locality, we have to go elsewhere, then at least once a month we will go, not only to meet an alim. Only meeting an alim is not to learn from an alim. Meeting an alim is not sufficient. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. If we meet 50 doctors, just meeting doctors, no consultation, we will not be cured of our illnesses. We will not recognize our illnesses. We are meeting doctor every day. Assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. We go with the intention of learning. The adab of going to an alim is that we perform two rakat before going and we say to Allah that, O Allah, I should dedicate my life for ilm that you have sent to your Nabi. I should dedicate my life for the ilm that you have sent with your Nabi, but I am weak and I am able to take out only half an hour per week. This is also through your grace. Only half an hour in 24 hours. Only half an hour in 1 week. So I am going to this Maulana, this Alim. I have no questions in mind. Or maybe I have questions in mind, but I may not be able to ask. O Allah, make this meeting a fruitful one. Grant the Alim the tawfiq to say those things which will benefit me. And then you go and sit respectfully. If he says something, alhamdulillah. If he doesn't say anything, alhamdulillah, you will feel the benefits. Try it. You will. I'm guaranteeing you, because I have trust in Allah. And find a good alim. Respect every alim. Try to sit in company of any alim where it is possible. But choose one alim as your guide. Sit in his company, learn from him, take guidance from him, that can you suggest anything that I can read at home? Because I can only come in your company once a week, once a month. I want to read something authentic, please let me know according to my needs. Slowly read, sit in his company, read, sit in his company, read. I'm only asking for half an hour per week. Half an hour per week, 1 or 2 hours per month for ilm. And whatever you learn, ask Allah that, O Allah, whatever you teach me, grant me the tawfiq to practice and grant me the ability to pass on to others. I want to learn, not only learn for the sake of learning, I want to learn and I want to practice and pass on to others. I want to pass on to my family. Let me mention to you the zeal of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim. Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and Itban ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, two great companions of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had orchards to look after. Umar radiyallahu anhu had his orchard. Itban ibn Malik has his orchard. They were in Madina Munawwara after Hijrah. And they resided outside, on the outskirts of Madina Munawwara, in that place which is called Awali. Awali, a few kilometers, a couple of kilometers, 2, 3, 4 kilometers, depending on where you are in Awali. So in those times, to be able to come from Awali all the way to Masjid-e-Nabbi 5 times Salat was not possible. Because if both of them came, coming would take about 1 hour, going would take another hour. Who would look after the orchards? Who would look after the farms? But the zeal to learn was so much that both of them sat down. And both of them made a plan, a program. This is riwayah of Bukhari Sharif I am mentioning, in my words. And the program they made was that we will both go on alternate days. So one day, Itban, you go. From morning till night, you stay in Madina Munawwara. You observe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you listen to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I will look after your farm and your orchard. On the following day, I will go and you look after my affairs. Did it stop there? No. You go one day, I will look after your affairs, and when you return, you come to my house and teach me whatever you have learned. And the following day, I will go, and when I return after Isha, I will come to your house and I will meet you and I will teach you what I have learned. So during the day they are learning, one is learning, one is looking after the orchard, and at night they are teaching and learning. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has brought this hadith in Kitabul Ilm, Babun at-tanawubu fil ilm. That if necessity demands, then two people should take turns to acquire ilm. So we should learn. Whatever we learn, we should pass it on to our friends, we should pass it on to our wives, we should pass it on to our children. Because ultimately it is the life hereafter that we are concerned with. So inshallah, daily. Number one, we will acquire ilm. And number two, we will recite the Quran. I have not forgotten the topic. The topic was Riya and Sum'ah. And similar to Riya and Sumayu is Ujba and Kibr. And this was a branch. I was branching out that today we do not even know what Riya is, we do not even know what Suma is. We do not know the difference between Riya and Suma. And I came to Riya and Suma from the first point, which was that acceptance is of three types. Acceptance number one, acceptance among the public. Bahut badi maulana, very big maulana, great bayan, very great sheikh. But in the court of Allah, he is zero. There is a sahabi radiyallahu anhu who used to make this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an uhabba lak. He used to make this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an uhabba lak. O Allah, I seek your refuge from this condition that I am loved for your pleasure. That means the whole world is loving me. This is great Maulana, great Sheikh, very pious personality. I love him only for the pleasure of Allah. They took, I love him only for the, mashallah, what a great alim. I love him only for the pleasure of Allah. So the Sahabi used to say, O Allah, I seek your refuge from this condition that I am loved for your pleasure. People love me because of you. وَأَنْتَ لِي مُبْغِز. But as far as you are concerned, you are hating me. Why is public loving him so much? Because public can see his outer only. And why is Allah unhappy with him? Because Allah can see the interior also. This is the worst situation that a person can be in. That he acquires acceptance amongst the people, but in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is zero. And there are some people who are accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah, for certain wisdom known to him only, does not give acceptance amongst the people. No problem. Because for how long are you going to stay with people? 50 years, 60 years, 70 years? And with Allah we are going to stay forever. We become Allah's, that is our target, not we become people's. Tera ho jaun itni arzu hai. Tera ho jaun itni arzu. My only wish is that I become yours. Tera ho jaun itni arzu hai. Bas itni hai tamanna dil badal de. This is my only desire. Oh Allah, change my heart. Change my heart and make me the way you want to see me. We become Allah's. So many people. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there are people whose body is dusty, with disheveled hair. And if they go and knock at somebody's door, looking at their outer condition, people will push them away. Go away from here. But in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their acceptance is such that لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّ. If they were to say that by Allah this will happen, then it will happen. Allah will make it happen. Bara ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu was a poor sahabi. And disheveled hair, dust on his body, and two sheets, one as lungi and one at the top, and very poor person. So old clothes in tatters. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are so many people. No, he said, there are some people. There are some people whose hair are disheveled, whose body is full of dust, and who are wearing two old sheets. But in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their status is such that if they swear by Allah and say something, Allah will fulfill whatever they demand. And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمِنْهُمْ بَرَا ابْنُ مَالِكِ. From amongst them is Bara ibn Malik. Very poor sahab. But in this day and age, if a poor person with tattered clothes, patched clothes was sitting here, and if I was to say that he is man of God, we will not pay attention. Man of God. This is rich person, this is person with status. But Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majmain looked at everything from the perspective of the Akhirah, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying this. After the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majmain faced a problem, they would look for Bara ibn Malik. So much so that even in battles, if they were facing defeat, they would say, where is Bara ibn Malik? Where is Bara ibn Malik? And Bara ibn Malik was called poor Sahabi. And they would say, that by Allah we will win. By Allah we will be victorious, because if you say it, Allah will accept it. They used to force him to say it. They say that by Allah the enemy will be defeated. Despite all odds, as soon as Bara ibn Malik used to say, by Allah Muslims will be victorious, Allah would grant them victory. So acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the main thing. And from amongst those people who are granted acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is another category who are granted acceptance there and also here in this world. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us acceptance in His court. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from riya, save us from sum'ah, save us from ujub, save us from kibr, save us from all the debasing qualities of the heart. Debasing qualities of the heart. And Allah adorn our hearts with the praiseworthy qualities. So, the dues of the body are known as awamir. Do's of the body, and the don'ts of the body are known as nawahi, and the do's of the heart are known as akhlaq-e hamida, akhlaq-e fadila, fadail. It has various names: fadail, akhlaq-e hamida, akhlaq-e fadila, akhlaq-e hasana. And the don'ts of the heart are known as radail, akhlaq-e radila. This is the whole Sharia. Do's of the body, don'ts of the body. Do's of the heart, don'ts of the heart. Awamir, nawahi, razail, fadail. Until we do not understand these four do's, two do's and two don'ts, how will we be able to practice the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how will we be able to say that the whole deen has come in my life and I will be successful in the hereafter? In the company of the ulama, we will learn all these things, that this is the do of the heart, this is the don't of the heart. This is the do of the body, this is the don't of the body. The do's and the don'ts we will learn in the company of the ulama. But as far as the do's of the heart and the don'ts of the heart is concerned, as far as practice is concerned, then we will have to go in the company of the mashayikh. The ulama will not be able to help us to practice. If we come across an alim who is not a sheikh in the spiritual field, then he will say to you that hasad is haram, and you are suffering from hasad, and this is the technical term of hasad, this is what is called hasad. And then if you say to him that how can I get rid of hasad which is in my heart, he will say, go to Sheikh. Go to this Sheikh, go to this. It's not my expertise. It's like an alim, when he is asked the fatwa, he will say, go to Mufti Sahib. So we learn from the ulama. There are some ulama who are ulama only, not mashayikh. And there are others who are ulama and mashayikh both. So we benefit from the ulama also, and we benefit from the mashayikh also. Inshallah, I will try to shed some light on riya, sum'ah, ujb and kibra tomorrow. May Allah grant us all acceptance. Amen. May Allah grant inspirations acceptance also. Amen. So maybe inshallah tomorrow or the day after tomorrow we'll read something from here. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعافية للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. لا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.